messages and those two acts of the Holy Spirit, because the baptism and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are very much something that God gives as a grace gift to people. So those that are hungry, those that want the Holy Spirit, those that are born again, simply need to ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit, and the Lord will give it. He will give him to come and be our comforter, to come to abide within us. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are very much given as gifts that we can use when we are in need or where the situation demands. And as Paul was sharing last week, he was sharing about the gift of healing, sharing about the gift of faith, the gift of miracles. These are things that God gives graciously as he determines, as he has decided. And they're very much something that we can ask for and receive, but the fruits are not like that. The fruits are evidence of the Holy Spirit's work in us in a consistent way. That over time, he begins to reveal and demonstrate his character within us. And that character comes to the fore, and that character becomes more and more our own character. At least that's what the theory is. Because the reality, if you're anything like me, is a little bit different to that. You know, the reality is that when I look at this list that we're going to read right now in Galatians chapter 5, if you want to turn there, Galatians 5, 22 to 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. You see, when I look at that list, I think, oh no, I just don't measure up. Pants! What am I going to do? I can't see myself in there sometimes. And I know that if you're honest with yourself, you can't see yourself in there sometimes too. Because the reality is that this is a fruit that is born over a long period of time. It's not something that comes instantaneously. You don't get born again 1 minute and then all of a sudden you are displaying all nine of these wonderful fruits the next day. No, 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 no. There is a process that we have to go through. And you know what? Sometimes I look at that list and I think I'm barely one for nine. I think I've got this love thing down pat. You know, I really love my wife. She's wonderful. And you know what? I tell her that I love her, and I demonstrate that I love her too. I'm doing pretty well on that. And I love my kids. I adore my kids. We have fun. We laugh together. We cry together. We go all gooey with emotion. We play. We do all these things. We do rough and tumble and wrestling and all these things. And we have a wild time. And I know that they are loved by me. So maybe I've got this love thing down pat. I don't know. But then, hang on a minute, I've got to love my brothers and sisters. That means you lot. Okay. Well, I know I love some of you guys. Some I want to throttle. And I know that the reverse is true. So maybe I haven't got this love thing down pat after all. And then Jesus tells me I've got to love my enemies. Oh, no. So I've got to love those little runts that pick on my boy at school. Oh no, how am I going to do that? Maybe I haven't got this love thing down pat at all. Nope, okay, zero for nine. Let's have a look at joy then. Well, I am a joyful guy. I'm a happy soul by and large. Maybe I've got this joy thing sorted out. I don't get down, I don't get miserable, I don't complain very often. My sister's looking at me over there, thinking differently perhaps. So, okay, maybe I'm one for nine. What about peace? Well, most of the time, yeah, I'm a peaceful guy. I kind of, you know, like to live in peace. I have peace inside of me. I can feel it in there most of the times, except perhaps when the kids push all of my buttons at once and when they go wrecking stuff in the house or when people start complaining about the chairs. And I can't pick a decent chair for the life of me. Maybe then my peace goes south faster than a fuel gauge in a Ferrari. I don't know. Maybe I haven't got this peace thing down pat after all. Or, you know what? I've been a Christian 24 years. I know the rest of that list sometimes can take a running jump. Because sometimes I just do not look like that list at all. And you can ask my wife. But you know what? If you're honest, same's true for you as well, isn't it? If you're honest, the reality is that for you, you don't display those nine fruits all the time either. But I've got great news for you today. And that is that the gospel, the beautiful promise of God is this, that behind this list, behind this airbrushed, blemish-free list, the Holy Spirit can take people like you and I, one for nines, the impatient but the kind, the long-suffering but those that lack self-control, the loving but those without joy. He can take one for nine folks like you and I, and he can put us in a community that we call church. And together, you and I, the one for nines, we can look like Christ. We can be nine for nines. So I need you, and you need me. When I'm impatient, when my patience has run out, when I'm at my wit's end, I need you, because you have patience. When you are totally out of control and can see no way forward, then you might need me. You see, as a body, we're meant to be members of one another, and we're meant to be in fellowship with one another, in true community with one another, and drawing from one another and giving to one another. That's what community is all about. And I thank God that together we can look like Jesus. Because you see, that verse wasn't written to you as an individual. It was written to the church. It was written to the church. It's a promise for the church. And I believe God wants this fruit evident in all of our lives. But in the reality of day-to-day life, in the non-airbrushed version of Christianity, we need one another to see all of those fruits manifest amongst us. And it's not like we don't try, isn't it? You know, we get up in the morning, if you're anything like me, we get up in the morning and I think, yeah, today I am going to be loving. I am going to be joyful. I am going to be full of peace. I am going to be full of joy. But then, you know what? I have to deal with, you know, real people. Real people, you know, full of complaints and baggage and the cares of their days and the worries of their life and all sorts. And you know what? It's sometimes it's a struggle, especially church folk. It can be doubly hard with church folk. And, you know, that's just reality. That is just reality. But I know that if we will let him, then there are times where we will see that fruit evidence in our lives and to greater and greater degrees. Let me tell you about my dad. And let me tell you about some of the ways that we can see these things evident in our lives. Because you know what? If you really look, you'll see them. Like my dad, great guy, fantastic guy. I love him to bits. He's brilliant at loads of things, except computers. Rubbish at computers. Now, anybody who knows me knows that I'm really good with computers. It's part of my other job, inverted commas. Computers are my thing. So in a moment of foolishness, I decided to install some remote control software on Dad's PC so that if he got into trouble, I'd be able to give him a hand. Yeah, you know, sounds like a sensible thing to do. So there I am, you know, some evenings, put the kids to bed, just kiss them goodnight, get downstairs, put the kettle on, sit down with my first cup of tea of the evening, and the phone goes off. And it's my dad. Hey, son, how you doing? Oh, I'm great, thanks. And we have a little catch-up and a chit-chat about what's gone on. And then he utters the famous phrase, T, can you just log on and... And my heart sinks. And I know that for the next hour of my life, I am a slave to whatever it is that Dad wants to find, whether it's cheaper car insurance through confused.com, whether it's an Italian TV satellite that I've got to find on some bizarre website, whether it's a cheaper house insurance, you name it, I am beholden to this man. But you know what? Then I realise something. I realise he's my dad. And he loves me. and the sacrifices that he's made for me and for my sister and for my other sister and for the times where he's just given of himself to me. And then a smile comes on my face and I think, yeah, you know what? It's not a problem. I can do this. So maybe the Holy Spirit is developing some kindness and some peace in my life after all. And then there's the neighbor next door. Oh my goodness. That man, God bless him. He has cost me £250 in fence work because of his stubbornness. We had our fence replaced to the left-hand side in the rear of our property. And I went round the week before and I said to this guy, I won't name his name, I'll call him John. I said, John, I'm going to be changing our fence. Ain't that great? Because it was falling to bits. It was dilapidated. He said, oh, great, great, great. So I said, you'll need to move the trellis that you've got attached because otherwise the guys will come and they'll probably just rip it down with the rest of the fence and take it away. Is that okay? Oh, yeah, yeah, Tino, no worries, no worries at all. So the day comes and the guys are on site and Charlie comes wandering out of his door and he says, John, I don't think you'll be listening to this message anyway somehow, but there we are. Whoops. Oh, forgive me, Lord. Okay, John comes walking out and he says, you guys are not coming on my property to do this fence. You're not stepping foot on my land. Tino is a bully. He's an absolute bully. He's a nasty piece of work. And you guys are not stepping foot on my property. So that meant that I had to demolish a lean-to on my side just so the guys could do the fence work. And then, of course, they had to put an end cap in and all that, another £250 worth of work. Thank you, Jesus. But you know what? In the Greek, patience, there's two words for it. It's long-suffering. It's, let me see if I got this right. Two words for it. Come on, notes. Where are they? One's called hupomone, something like that. And the other is... never mind. I can't remember what they are. And I can't find them in my notes. You'll have to go and look it up. But it means, in the Greek, it's used about the man that could take revenge but chose not to. Isn't that great? The man that could have taken revenge but chose not to. And you know what? If that's what patience really is, perhaps the Holy Spirit is working the fruit of patience and long-suffering in my life after all. So maybe I don't score too badly on this. And maybe you don't either. If you will just look. Self-control. Here's another one. I had to laugh because last week, Hannah was walking by my door. And I don't know whether you noticed, I'm a little svelter these days. I've lost about a stone and gone down a jean size. So anyway, I was like an excited kid having gone down a jean size. And I just had to tell somebody. And Hannah was the first person that walked past my door. So I just called her in and said, Hannah, I've gone down a jean size. And she was like, that's nice. And then she kind of walked off. But what she didn't know is that I never believed that I could do that. I never had that faith in and of myself that I could be anything other than a fat Italian who eats at the Fat Italian. And two things changed for me. The first was a change in the mind. Something that Liz said really stuck with me. She said, small changes over time make big differences. It was like a light bulb moment for me. And all of a sudden, I realized that I don't have to go on some mega diet to lose weight. I don't even have to change very much, just a little bit. And the effect over time will be pronounced. And the second thing was a change in my heart. That all of a sudden, having that knowledge, I believed I actually could do this. I believed that for the first time in probably 20 years, I could actually lose weight. And I have been. So maybe the Holy Spirit is working a work of self-control in me after all. And maybe he's doing the same for you. Hallelujah. So as bizarre as it was for Hannah, and you know, maybe when she listens to this message, that sometimes she'll understand just how excited I was that this had happened. But it was a bit of a bizarre encounter, I'll be honest. Oh, yes. You see, we all have similar stories that I believe that we could share in this regard, don't we? Times where we've made a decision and that decision has been as a result of seeing the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We haven't retaliated. We haven't wanted to go and punch somebody's lights out, even though every fibre of our emotions wanted to do so. Those times where we've said no to things, and that's been a divine no, not a no, ooh, go on then, but a real no that's kept us safe, that's kept us in the will of God for our lives. You know, maybe there's been a time where you've loved beyond human capacity, where you've loved the truly unlovable, the truly repugnant, those that have spitefully used you, those that have persecuted you. Perhaps you've done that. And I want you to know that at those times, that's when the fruit of the Holy Spirit becomes evident in your life. And it's a consistent work of God in your life that yields this. It takes time. And I'm telling you, sometimes, I don't know whether you're the same, but sometimes it feels like the Holy Spirit's work in me is slower than a larder full of elephants going uphill. That's how it feels. It feels that slow. But God's in this for eternity. He's in no rush to reveal the image of Christ in you and in I. And sometimes it's going to take time to break down the stubbornness, to break down the barriers. For me, it took that many years for me to actually believe that some change was actually possible in the arena of my eating. And growing up in an Italian household, I'm telling you, my mum, you can ask my sister this, we used to get the starving kids in Africa would love that plate of food guilt trip every mealtime, pretty much. If we left anything on our plate, man, it was a big deal. Because my mum and dad came from times of difficulty in Italy before they came over to the UK. They had nothing. Their families had nothing, and yet they built up this great wealth and plenty. And, you know, but that mentality of lack was always there with them. So that's how I grew up under that. And same for Lorena. You know, I still find it hard to leave something on my plate. And so if it's a small portion, there'll be nothing left. If there's a medium portion, there'll be nothing left. Or if it's mum's portion that's the size of North Wales, there'll be nothing left. And that was the backdrop of my battle with food. But it took two things, a change of heart and a change of mind and a change of heart for something to truly change and me to believe that this was actually possible. And that took time. And the Holy Spirit's work in you takes time. So don't get discouraged. Don't look at that list and do what I did. Ah, I don't measure up. Look at that list and perhaps say, you know what, thank you, Jesus, that there's some evidence of that fruit in my life. And thank you that what I lack, you make up for within the body to the glory of God the Father. Because that's what I'm like now. That's my reaction, the proper reaction. Because, you know, the point of this message is to blow away this myth that we have of perfection. You know, I don't think this side of glory we will ever be fully perfect. Anybody that thinks they will be, well, you know, let's see how you stack up against this. Let's see how you stack up against that list. Because I don't know anybody on planet Earth that does. So it's a myth, isn't it? This perfection myth. We have to be full of these things in order to be right before God. No. You know what? My kids are full of imperfections, but I love them nonetheless. I'm full of imperfections, but I know my mum and dad love me nonetheless. And my heavenly Father loves me nonetheless. The myth of perfection needs to be broken. And you know what? We need to be real, don't we? I believe there's humility in being real before God. You know, I remember that passage in Luke chapter 18 where the two men go to the temple. The first is a Pharisee and he prays, "I thank you, God. I'm not like that tax collector. I give alms. I pray regularly. I give to the poor," whatever it was that he said. And the tax collector wouldn't even as much as lift up his head, but said, "Father, forgive me. Have mercy on me, a sinner." And the scriptures say that that was the man that went away justified. Not the one that could pray well. Not the one who did all of his things right and got all of his ducks in a row. It was the man that was humble before God and real in his heart about where he was really at that went home justified. And I want to remind you of that today, because the Christian life is not about perfection. I believe it's about us being real where we're at with God and understanding that his work in us is a work of grace and is a work that takes time. Hallelujah. You know, I like to celebrate the fact that the Holy Spirit can bear fruit in broken, messed up people like you and I. You know, I'm always quite amused when people say to me things like, "Call yourself a Christian." Isn't that a bizarre thing? That the world expects that all Christians to be somehow perfect. Man alive, they ought to come to this church. I jest. But you see, there's no such thing as a perfect Christian. There's no such thing as a perfect human being, bar Jesus Christ. And I celebrate the fact that the Holy Spirit can bear fruit in us, you and I, 1 for 9 people. And perhaps we need to be reminded that we need to show each other a little grace in this journey. Oftentimes, I don't know about you, but I'm burdened by the weight of my own self-expectation at times. I kill myself with it. Oh, I should have done this week. Oh, I should have got more done there. I should have done... Man, if I keep thinking like that, it's no wonder I get to the end of the week and I'm stressed out. I need to have a little more grace for myself. And you lot need to have a little more grace for me as well. And I need to have some more grace for you. And perhaps we need to remind ourselves that we are branches in a vine. And there are seasons for vines, aren't there? There's a season of cutting and pruning the branches. There's a season of tending to the vine. You know, my dad's ace at this. He grows grapes and stuff. And, I see him like pulling the dead ends off and pruning bits and doing all sorts of... You know, there's a time where it needs to be tended. There's a time for watering, a constant time for watering. And then the fruit comes. But guess what? Once the fruit's been born, the vine dresser doesn't stop there, does he? He doesn't think, "Yay!" and that's it. No. He gets to pruning again. And he gets to tending again. And he gets to watering again. And the cycle repeats and repeats and repeats. You know, I believe the Holy Spirit's work in us is like that too. That sometimes we're in a period of pruning. That sometimes we're in a period of being tended to by the Holy Spirit. That might be the place where you get healed. It might be the place where you find freedom, like I did. And it may be the place where your heart comes into peace. And then the fruit begins to come. But I thank God that he is in this fruit-bearing project for the long term. I like 2 Corinthians 3:17 to 18 that says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, as we walk with God, as we stay close to God, his nature does rub off on us. And it won't be too long before that fruit begins to come. But in the meantime, don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged. Don't beat yourself up. Be gracious to yourself and to those on the same journey as you. And in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 17, perhaps this is what it means to regard no one according to the flesh. It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for his work in our lives. We thank you for the wonderful patience you have with us. That even in our stumbling, that even in our getting up, Father God, there is great grace. Father, there is great joy in your heart around us. So, Father, I pray for the continuation of your work within us. God, would you continue to tend to us, to prune us, to bear fruit in us. Fruit that remains. Fruit, Father God, that speaks to those that don't know you, about you. That we may be good witnesses of you, Father. And that we may bring light wherever we go, Father. And we just thank you for these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'll be more than happy to pray with anybody that would like to be prayed for. Otherwise, let's enjoy some more worship before we close for the day.